Monster Man, Episode 293, Golem and Guardian Warrior and Horse. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Unlike most other monster books, Creature Catalog is divided into topical sections. And so this section is the Conjurations section, which deals with beings that are summoned from other planes and artificial constructs. And it's those artificial constructs that we're looking at today as we examine the golem and the duo of the guardian warrior and horse. Before we do that, though, I have a little bit of an announcement. As some of you may know, I've been working on some other projects related to gaming and history, and one of them has just borne fruit in the form of the first episode of the Edinburgh Games and History Lab podcast. And that's a podcast in which I and my co-host Gianluca Ricagni talk to game designers, to historians, to heritage professionals, really whatever, about the interaction between games and history. And in our first episode, we're interviewing John Hodgson of Handiwork Games, who's talking about their upcoming game, Beowulf Age of Heroes, and Davide Mana of Acheron Books, who's talking about their upcoming game, Broncolonia, the spaghetti fantasy RPG. So, you know, both stories that are based on popular conceptions of the Middle Ages and historical conceptions of the Middle Ages and medieval literature, and a lot of really interesting interactions there. And if you're interested in it, I'll put a link to the first episode in the show notes, or I've posted about it on my Twitter, and I'm sure I'll do so again. All right, let's talk monsters. So first we have the golem. Now, the golem is very interesting to me. I've spoken at length about golems. We did a special episode about the Golem of Prague. Obviously, we talked about golems way back in season one as they appear in the first monster manual, and intermittently we've run into some other golem types in the other monster books as well. So what's fascinating to me is that the Golem, you know, like many other monster entries, the golem begins with a list of the other types of golems that have appeared in other box sets of Beckmi. So there are golems in the Expert and Companion box sets. But what they don't include is any of what we would think of as the classic golems. So the 1977 golems, right, the monster manual golems, are the clay golem, the flesh golem, the stone golem, and the iron golem, whereas the golems that we see in Beckmi are the amber, bone, bronze, wood, mud, which maybe is the same thing as clay, but I don't think so, and obsidian, which I guess is a kind of stone, it's glass, really, but, you know. That's fascinating. I don't know the logic behind that choice. It can't be because Beckmi is excluding stuff that's in the monster manuals, because obviously that would mean that it wouldn't have, like, orcs and whatnot. I really don't know. I sort of wonder what an amber golem is like. It makes me want to go look those up. Anyway, in this section, we get two more, and one of them is a little bit more like the golem that we're familiar with. So the first golem of the lot is the rock golem. Now, this includes the sort of regular stone golem that we're familiar with, right? Kind of an animated statue, and also golems that are merely kind of animated rock formations or piles of rock. Not elementals, but rocks that have been magically animated by some kind of a wizard. The illustration shows one of these statue-like stone golems. These are very interestingly powerful opponents. In a stand-up fight, they are extremely dangerous. They have very good armor class, they have a good amount of hit points, and more importantly, they're immune to all sorts of damage, right up to the point where weapons that attack them break, and that can be true even of magical weapons. A +3 sword has a chance of breaking if you swing it against this thing. And, you know, considering their other damage resistances, they're highly resistant even to quite a lot of magical attacks. So they would make an extremely challenging opponent at a purely stand-up and fight level. But they're also relatively slow, they're not very smart, and one can imagine that it would be relatively easy to outmaneuver or trick them. So I think we typically are going to see the rock golem acting as a sort of guard. That's the role that we see stone golems in a lot. And so it's always worth remembering that the thing that you're supposed to do with a guard is not necessarily fight it, but bypass it in one way or another, right? Maybe you have to go through it, but maybe you also go around it. I think that's a very interesting reminder, and one that fits the character of the stone golem very well. It's big and lumbering and powerful, and you probably can't outshoot it, but maybe you can outwit it. And I like monsters that present tactical problems that manifest in that kind of like real world way, right? Even if you're not a master of the rules of Dungeons and Dragons, you can absolutely understand the tactical challenge posed by this monster is extremely tough, but we're probably able to outwit it. And I think I said something like this in the ogres episode. So, you know, this monster fulfills a classic bad guy role, right? The big lummox that the wittier hero escapes from. Next up, we get the Silver Golem, who is a very different creature indeed. These silver human-like figures are all full of mercury, and they're very fast. They have lots of attacks. They're very unlike the kind of more traditional golem that the rock golem is. Even then, it's not traditional golem, but animated statue is, you know, kind of a, you got that Harryhausen feel to it. Now, I don't know if this is the actual origin, but what the Silver Golem reminds me of is the Rastan Warrior robot from the Doctor Who story, The Five Doctors. And that did come out a few years before the Creature Catalog. Five Doctors airs in 1983, Creature Catalog is 1986. So it's not impossible. The idea of this, like, silvery humanoid figure that moves super rapidly, that's what the Rastan Warrior robot is supposed to be like, even if it isn't necessarily always like that. I like the idea that it's got quicksilver in it, so it's quick, and it's silver. That's some of that alchemical logic, and I approve. Finally, we got the Guardian Warrior and Horse, and these are all quite golem-like themselves, but I think there's some interesting things to be said about them. The Guardian Warrior and Horse are clay statues of a warrior and a horse, and they are animated using a magical ritual. The description of them is clearly based on the so-called Terracotta Army, which are statues of soldiers and guard the tomb of Qin Shi Huangdi, the first emperor of China. And this was a major archaeological find in China. It happened in the early to mid-70s, so it would have been relatively fresh in the mid-1980s, I think. And indeed, today, they're a very recognizable image. And certainly when you look at the, I think it's the Lesser Golem in the second edition Monsters Manual, is very clearly one of the Terracotta Warriors. Here they're animated by a magical ritual, and you either, you know, you pour a different liquid on them in this ritual to animate them, and which liquid you pour on them determines what their alignment is when they are animated, which is kind of fun. One of the things that I really like about this description is that it tells us that these are an extant form of ceremonial tomb guardian who are then animated by magic. So it's not that all such, like, terracotta warriors are animated creatures, but that many tombs are protected by funerary effigies, and then you can use this ritual to animate one. I like this because it means that the custom is not exotic, it's familiar. Because there's a tendency when bringing things from Chinese history, or really from anywhere in Asian history, or for that matter, anywhere that's not in Europe, to present that practice within the fantasy setting as an exotic setting, in the way that would have appeared to Europeans in the Middle Ages. But this is a fantasy setting, and therefore, there is no reason for it not to have customs that are inspired by cultures all over the world, or indeed customs that are completely made up. So, I really like the idea that everyone knows about funerary statues, but this one has come to life. In terms of combat, they are reasonably tough, not nearly on the level of something like the Rock Golem, and I think that they kind of fulfill the role that the Lesser Golem does in second edition, and this is kind of like also what the Fundamentals do, right? Which is that Golem, or animated construct, is a classic adventuring theme, right? It's a, if you're going to have monsters, animated construct or like pseudo robot or living statue, definitely one of the types that you would want to include. But if you're playing a game where the characters are relatively low level and you want them to actually fight or interact with this thing rather than just running away from it, you know, you need to do some work if you want to include it because it's very, very powerful. So you make this weaker version of it in the form of the Guardian Warrior and Horse. I don't know, maybe the Wood Golem is not that tough, but that's kind of the feeling I get, right? They're rounding out the range of possible construct monsters and doing it with a nod to a recognizable form of construct. All right, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. As I said, I'll put a link to the Games and History Lab podcast in the show notes, and you can check that out if you want to. In our next episode, we're doing a special episode, and it's going to be about kaiju, the giant monsters of Japanese tokusatsu films, and I'm really looking forward to that. I got a lot to say about it. So I'll see you then for Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.